Hey there, and welcome to another episode of Pod Sothoth, a Lovecraft book club. I'm Todd. I am your often narrator, but today mere co-host, for I am joined, as usual, by my attorney and wife, Claire Reynolds. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Todd.
I am very excited to be recording today. It's been a little while, but not super long.
It's been a while since... since I rapped at you.
It's been a while.
Jim Anchower.
It's been a while since we rapped at you.
All right, email us if you know who Jim Anchower is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're getting paid now to do this. So
we have a subscriber.
Listen,
we're working for him or her.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, they are our employer now.
I wasn't going to reveal that we have just the one subscriber, but yes, if you decide to subscribe...
We're microcasters.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we already kind of were, but now we're even more so. Dear sir, madam, mm-hmm. You tell us whatever you want us to talk about, and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, that's right. We work for you now. But yeah, this is Pod Sothoth. We talk about Lovecraft. And today, we're going to talk about The Music of Eric Zahn.
Excellent!
The Music of Eric Zahn was written and published in the March 1922 issue of the National Amateur by one Howard Phillips Lovecraft. This story is often considered, it's divisive, I will say, and I say it in the British way.
I was going to say aluminium.
Scale of 1 to 10, how British am I?
It is divisive or divisive in that it has no...
You know,
it has no
plot.
No, damn it, Claire. Why do you get on this podcast if you hate Lovecraft so much?
I like him when he does it well.
This one, people either love it or hate it. There's no squid monster, and there's kind of like no direct description of any monster at all. But that's okay, because whenever Lovecraft has monsters, he usually describes them as indescribable anyway. I don't know. I like this story a lot. I think it's all atmosphere.
I would like to preface this by saying that I cannot write.
Uh-huh.
I cannot edit.
Yeah.
I am in no way an expert, so I am just an armchair citizen
mm-hmm.
of literature sitting here. It's like he starts off and has got me, and then it just always kind of, it peters off to like, something that's just a, it's like when you have a dream, and you can start off explaining the dream to somebody.
Right.
And then you're just talking about weird.
Much of Lovecraft's source material are dreams he had last night.
That makes.
Yeah.
So much sense.
Yeah.
That
a lot of it is. This has shown up in later correspondence and all that.
Because this first sentence is a banger. I'm gonna.
It's a great first sentence.
Yeah,
and I've been noticing that lately. Like, his first sentences are masterpieces.
Mm-hmm.
Like, more often than not. Would you like to read the first sentence for us?
No, because I cannot pronounce D'Alsay.
Okay, well, don't worry. I have written it phonetically, and I believe it is pronounced Rue de Sire.
Probably. Sure.
So you go for it.
I have examined maps of the city with the greatest care, yet have never again found the Rue de Say.
I know, right? Like, it's a mystery lost street. Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay, well, let's go through the story like we usually do. I don't know why I'm always surprised at the format of this show, but we'll go through the story. If you want to hear it, just back up your podcast player one episode and you can listen to it.
I can tell you right now. Plot is guy talking about something happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Check. There should be. Why is there not Lovecraft Mad Libs? There's probably Lovecraft Mad Libs somewhere.
I'm sure there are.
Yeah. It was somewhere where he lived when he was a student
mm-hmm.
and poor.
Mm-hmm.
He met an old guy who was creepy.
Mm-hmm. This is sounding familiar compared to the descendant from last episode.
He forced his friendship upon this creepy old guy.
Yes.
And then something creepy and awful happens.
Correct.
And then he runs away. If there's a creepy old guy who doesn't want to be friends with you, don't be friends with him. Walk away.
So it opens with this crazy street that is insane, right? It is very Tim Burton-ish, very Edward Gorey style. At least the, like there, it's all the buildings kind of bend in on each other and are like impossibly tall. Very unsafe, I would say. And you know, and I just love the word picture that Lovecraft is painting here. You know, you can read this and think, and you know, like, especially today, especially living in like a post Tim Burton world, like, you know exactly what this looks like.
Right.
And,
absolutely.
Yeah. I'm also reminded of, you know, some of the later videos from Sparks, which also kind of look like this, like a little, like, I see it as like a very paper cut, like this would be great as an animation, yes. Like a paper cutout animation of this story. I've seen a version of this at Necronomicon. I've seen a short story version of the music of Eric Zahn. It wasn't animated, and I wish it was now. The Rue de Say, as you know, I care a lot about the geography of Lovecraft. If you wanted to visit the Rue de Say, you are out of luck because it doesn't exist in our world. Which
nowhere
is implied.
In here does it say it's in Paris? It doesn't say it's in Paris, but it has to be. I mean, you assume. Or Belgium, I guess. I don't know.
Ah, so yes. I have lots of notes on what city this is in, right? The Rue de Say.
Any other city in France, I guess. I guess Paris.
So that is one theory. It could be any city that has a university that is primarily French speaking. Which puts it in several countries.
Could be New Orleans. Who knows?
Could be. I was thinking that too. I was thinking, like, is there a way to contrive this being in New Orleans? And honestly, like, one of the best theories I read, it was a very old Shadow Over Usenet post that says, actually, I feel like this is in Geneva. Because in Geneva, you have steep streets. And so it would not be completely weird to have a very steep street like this. In Paris, a little more weird to have a very steep street like this. Also, I did want to bring up that
he's at the threshold.
Exactly. So the actual French word of seuil, which I don't know how to pronounce French, does mean fresh threshold. And this word, this Rue de Say, does not exist anywhere, but it does seem to be a smash up of, you know, the street at the threshold.
Are we going to talk about liminal spaces?
Sure, go for it.
No, that's like a whole thing I saw on Reddit of like r/liminal spaces, I guess. At the threshold. That made me think of it.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
No. Okay. I don't have an exact definition, but it's like the creepy spaces where something is transitioning into something else.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, many people, not just me, and not just you, believe that it is supposed to be literally a threshold, because in the story, actually we'll go through the story and then we'll get back to the threshold bit.
Okay. All right.
So anyway, he's talking about this crazy street that he lived on where everyone's old and the architecture is unsafe. More about the geography. It lays across a dark river. He just keeps going on of the street. Mm-hmm. Like, mostly the story is about the street.
Yeah. No, I know where I was going. Like, as somebody who is, we've been poor, we've been students, we've lived in the city in weird places, and like it's always kind of weird trying to go back and find those places where you lived before.
Yeah.
As you know, it doesn't look the same.
It's a very you can't go home again kind of thing.
Yeah.
Can't step in the same river twice.
I can even find the address and I go back to the place. I'm like, well, this doesn't look right.
The fact that this building is 5 stories tall seems pretty tall. Now, technically, the witch house where I lived in Pittsburgh, I lived in the basement and we had a guy living in the attic. There was basement, ground floor, second floor. We only had 4 stories, I guess.
That's still a lot.
I know.
You had one person per floor?
No. Okay. The second floor had bedrooms and there were like 3 people or 4 people in there or something like that, depending on who was sleeping there at the time. My rent was so low too.
You should get,
my rent was like $80 a month.
That's insane.
Because,
I mean, it sounds like
because there were 6 people living there.
And also there was like sewage dripping into your
right? There were major call the city sewage problems.
Yeah. I feel like I wish you could just get your witch house crew and do a podcast about that, because when you guys talk about it, it sounds...
It's pretty... It was a crazy time.
Guys, it was the 90s.
It was.
There was no rules.
No rules at all. Our landlord was literally insane. He was a Lovecraft. He had the Innsmouth look. Like, no kidding. Like, he had kind of, like, weird droopy eyes. And like, multiple sex offender. Like, for real. He definitely was.
Boy.
He was constantly getting picked up for, like, masturbating on the bus.
Well, that's nothing.
I know. He wasn't, like, assaulting anyone, except nothing. Visually.
I mean, the amount of people that I saw masturbating on the L mm-hmm. and on buses in Chicago, it was like, oh, that? Whatever, bro.
Now, I
give me something that's really scary.
Okay, yeah, whatevs. So anyway, so after we're done describing everything about the street and the building, we meet the, I believe, unnamed main character, the unnamed narrator, which is Lovecraft's favorite. And like you say, he forces his friendship on this old man who lives at the very top. And he's Erickson. And he is a musician. And he plays in some theater company during the day. And then he comes home and keeps playing his viol. Mm-hmm.
Shockingly, not any of my early 20s boyfriends. Despite,
you
know, no, I know. Despite being named like Eric or Tyler or whatever.
Yeah, but you dated a fair number of band members.
I know. No, it sounds like playing in a shitty band at a shitty place and then coming home at night and still, you know, now I really get to play my music.
Right, right. And so, yes, that is a great read of Erickson. he plays for money during the day, mm-hmm. but at night, mm-hmm. like, he has it. Now, okay, so anyway, I don't want to get ahead. Our narrator overhears him one night, and it's, like, super weird. Weird and beautiful, right? And he's like, what is that? What is that crazy music? And so he goes up there, and like you say, he forces his friendship on him. Erickson will have none of it. In the original text, he is called Dumb. I know you don't listen to the podcast, Claire, but dumb. As you might expect, I do not use the term dumb in the podcast.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, of course. I don't need an attaboy. Like, this is what we do. I think I use mute once, and then for the rest of the time, I'm like, we all remember he's mute. It's a short story. We don't have to keep saying it.
Yeah.
And, and I looked it up. Like, mute does not appear to be particularly offensive. It may be inaccurate because, like, that describes, like, actually not having a larynx or something.
Right.
The whole point is that this guy doesn't talk.
Yeah.
But is able to communicate and able to play and able to hear and everything like that. So. Yeah. And so Erickson reluctantly invites the narrator in and he plays some stuff for like an hour. And he's like, that's great. But what about this? Doobie doobie doo. Whatever he does.
Changes in the night.
You know, that thing that you played. And he's like, it's kind of agitated again. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no. And then he gets mad, right, I think. And he says, yeah. Also, I didn't realize, he communicates to him through writing. Like, hey, I didn't realize that you can hear my stuff. Could you just take an apartment that's lower down and I'll pay the difference?
Yeah. Okay, so the thing that I thought that was hilarious is that the way he described it, he's like, he wrote many words with a pencil in the labored French of a foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following paragraph goes in to describe an incredibly detailed set of instructions.
Yes.
Is that, which
So it took him a while.
Yeah, but also, like, sounds like the guy's French was great.
I guess, yeah. Is the implication...
It was an appeal for tolerance and forgiveness.
Right.
It said that he was old, lonely, and afflicted with strange fears and nervous disorders connected with his music and with other things. He'd enjoyed my listening to his music and wished I could come again and not mind his eccentricities. But he could not play it, and... It goes on and on.
Right.
And on.
So it's a pretty long note.
Okay, so maybe he's not as fucking dumb as you think he is.
I guess the implication is the narrator a native French speaker? Is that why? Like he, because
I don't know.
He's you know how the French are.
Actually, I don't. Yeah. I only know one guy from France, and he's actually very.
He's very cool.
He's very cool.
Okay, what's this word? Because I had to look it up when I read it. As I sat deciphering the execrable, right? Execrable French.
Like poopy.
Yes, exactly. Like he writes an incredibly long and detailed set of instructions, which then is immediately dismissed as I sat deciphering the execrable French.
This is like an entirety. He's like, could you please, by all means, please take a different room. I will pay the difference. It's like all this blah, 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 blah. And the guy's like, well, it sounded like a caveman, but.
Yeah, I guess. It didn't really jump out at me at the time, but I take your point. And then that happens. So now it's like the next day or whatever. And then he finds out it's like, actually, Zahn doesn't ever want to see him again. And
I can't imagine why.
Can't imagine why.
He's like, this make no sense to me.
Yeah, he probably spent 15 minutes like just critiquing
his
French.
Just yelling at him like louder. Uh-huh.
Again, another, I think this is another point in the column of this is in Geneva and not France, where like a lot of people are speaking either French or German.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Could be.
So I like that it's in Geneva. So the narrator does continue to eavesdrop on the weird playing for a while, and he plays a viol, which I want to like actually take a little little break of like, what the hell is a viol?
Yeah, I had to look that up because at first I was reading and I assumed it was like violin, viola or whatever, but then I was like, well, they had that word.
So a viol is strung like a violin. It plays like a violin. You can pluck it or you can use a bow. But they're bigger and they range from like kind of guitar sized to cello sized. And I think like the size of the instrument is never described in the story. I like to think it's huge. I like to think that it's like more of a standing cello kind of sized instrument. And then you have this old man like hunching over it and like going like it feels more violent to me if it's like that, right? Like it's huge. Other interpretations, most interpretations of this story in more visual media like movies, shorts, comic books, and other things. So like even like Charlie Strauss writes The Laundry Files. He's a sci-fi writer, writes The Laundry Files. He pulls a lot from Lovecraft in book 6. The Annihilation score like revolves around a violin made of human bones by Eric Zahn.
Whoa. That's goth.
Yeah, it like ratchets it up to a million, but it's just a violin. It's like, it's tiny. It, you know, you can put it up on your neck. Umbrella Academy also has a crazy violin in it called the White Violin that has like some kind of apocalyptic power, or maybe it's a person, I think. I don't know. I'm not very familiar with Umbrella Academy.
So the whole thing, this very much made me think, I thought this was going towards like the Devil Went Down to Georgia kind of a thing,
right?
Where it was like, there's something, the devil is involved, because he said Eric Zahn was like satyr like.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Well, yeah, I never really caught that. That does sound kind of classically satanic, or bacchanalian or whatever, right? So, I like that a lot, actually. But I still like my giant cello idea, where it's a huge piece of equipment. That also he has to lug around, like, as this, like, impossibly ancient guy. Okay, so anyway, over several nights, the narrator sneaks up, and he's listening at the door, and he gets bolder and bolder. And then one night, he's at the door, and he's listening in on Eric Zahn playing. And there's wind, and then there's like a crash, and it stops. And he's like, oh, dang. And so he knocks on the door, and he's like, Mr. Zahn, or Monsieur Zahn, which I assume is how he sounds. He's rapping at the door, and you can hear him get up, and he comes over, and like something fucked up has happened, right? and he's too busy to kick him out, even though he really definitely doesn't want him there. And so then the narrator watches him play now, and he plays like crazy, right? And to the point where, like, he's having hallucinations. He sees, like, satyrs and a crazy bacchanal, and, you know, the window, like, crashes open, and Erickson's just, like, playing his heart out, right? And he's like, da-da-da-da-da. And then there's another sound, and it's far away, and it's almost like... It's almost like dueling banjos, except Lovecraft. Right. And then meanwhile, also, the narrator has a secondary motive, and he wants to look out that window. Because it's the tallest window, and he can't see over the... Nobody can see over the wall except for anyone in this particular apartment. Right. And so he looks over the window, expecting to see the lights of the city before him, but he sees nothing. It is a black abyss. And that... to me indicates, like, yes, Rue de Say is the threshold between, you know, the real world and whatever this abyssal realm is. And Eric Zahn's job is, through this audio acoustical technology, is to beat back the encroaching abyss. And Eric Zahn personally is responsible for keeping the world together. That's what I think this story is about. Checkmate.
Would you continue to... Okay, so it would be one thing if I had loved ones and a family and people I cared about. But if all I did was go play in a shitty theater, like, I had no friend, nothing, why would I care about beating back the abyss? Whatever, come take it all.
Well, clearly Eric Zahn is more of a hero than you are.
Yes, for sure.
Because you would give up.
Yes. We were talking about our Gen X ethos earlier today. That's for sure. It's like, well, I don't, you know, whatever. Maybe we all deserve to get taken away.
Well, and Eric, and so as he's doing, so he does it. He wins. He beats back the abyss and whatever this abyssal creature is, because there's implication that there is, in fact, a monster, because he hears something at the window, like, knocking at one point.
Why wouldn't he... Why wouldn't he be training somebody else to do... Like, he's going to die eventually, right?
Eventually, he's an old man. Yeah. And so he finally... So he wins, and then... narrator is basically like, what just happened? And Eric Zahn is,
what's up with that abyss?
Eric Zahn like motions, you know, because he doesn't talk, and he starts writing his account in German, because he can't be bothered with his with his terrible French. And he writes page after page after page, and presumably this guy's just sitting there and watching, like, him do it.
Yeah, no iPhone to scroll through, no TikTok, no nothing.
Nope, you're just watching this old man write in German, which the narrator presumably can read, which makes me, again, second point, Geneva, like, you could switch.
So why, I mean, anywhere, like...
I guess anywhere in Europe, but, like, I like Geneva because it has the steep streets.
So does Zurich.
Okay, well, I don't know. You're more traveled than I am.
No, I'm not. Switzerland's all...
So does Pittsburgh, actually.
Well, could be that. Could I be. I don't know.
Not a lot of French speaking in Pittsburgh, but not none.
Definitely not Orleans.
Pittsburgh, by the way, fun fact, according to the city of Pittsburgh, has the most city steps in the U.S.,
I don't even know what that means.
So they are steps that are public steps.
Okay.
That
maintained by the city.
Maintained by the city, that usually run next to streets, but sometimes are the street. And it was real funny. I was talking to my friend, Art Mannion, who continues to live in Pittsburgh to this very day. And we were reminiscing about early Google Maps that didn't understand the difference between the city steps and streets. And so you would get directions that say, like, turn right on like Laurel Lane. Mm-hmm. And Laurel is like just steps. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, I guess I'm not going this way.
I guess it's Run Lola, or no, not Run Lola, Run. What was the movie with the, oh man, I've gone off on a tangent. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Okay. It's the movie with Matt Damon and the lady from Run Lola, Frankie something. And the, is it the Firstborn conspiracy? I don't know. Where he's like,
yeah, it is the Born Identity.
They got to go up the tiny stairs.
Yep. So that was Pittsburgh, circa 2009, yeah. when Google Maps was like the thing to use. Still is, obviously. But yeah, every mapping system was really bad at Pittsburgh. Yeah, so anyway, wow, crazy. The wind picks up again, and Eric Zahn's got to go back to work. So
no rest for the wicked.
Uh-huh. And so he's like, oh, dang. So he's got to keep doing it. The wind carries the manuscript.
Oh, dang.
Oh, dang. The wind carries the manuscript right out the window. And it's long enough to be described as a manuscript, I think. And Eric Zahn is playing and playing and playing. And then there's a shocking turn of events. The narrator goes over to Eric Zahn.
Hey, bro.
He's playing, and like the danger seems to have basically passed. And the narrator touches him, and he's like,
well, he can't even see. No, I don't think the danger passed. I thought it was like the wind is whipping. Like he can't see anything, right? I thought he just felt it by touching.
The candles are all blown out. It's super dark. He's getting the hell out of there. You're right. Yeah, the danger hasn't passed. It's still like going on, right? And he's gonna bail, and he wants to take Eric with him. But he touches Eric, and he's cold. And it turns out he's a viol playing zombie at this point. He's dead, but he's still playing posthumously to keep this abyss monster away. And so then he runs away. He goes screaming down the stairs, and that's the end of the story.
That's so okay. Yeah. So like, if Eric Zahn is trying to,
Eric Zahn is playing dead, to this day.
Is that what they're like? Where did the abyss take over? How did Eric Zahn get this job?
I don't know.
He answered a Craigslist ad.
No, I don't think so. I think the abyss monster killed him somehow,
and then was like, well,
but I actually still like the music.
Yeah. The abyss monster is like, I don't really want the city. That's too much trouble.
Mm-hmm.
No, it does. It kind of peters out, though.
I don't think it peters out. I think it ends. I don't think it peters out at all. Really? He ends by running away.
Yes.
And then he can't ever find it ever again. So maybe Eric Zahn failed. And that's why we can't find the Rue de Say anymore.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, okay.
It got eaten by the abyss.
Then why does he care about this one shitty street that nobody lives on?
I don't know. Maybe this abyss monster like comes every 100 years or something.
The abyss monster is like,
one block at a time.
It's just one street. This is where my girlfriend broke up with me.
Maybe it just eats one street at a time. And or converts it to something. Like I like to think that like it's, you know, I like Lovecraft Dreamland stuff. Mm-hmm. And so like I think this abyss monster is converting whatever the city is into a Dreamland city. Like stealing it from the real world, right? Okay. To implant it into the, and maybe Eric Zahn has a problem with this, I guess, and decides to fight back. I mean, I don't know. It's just a theory. And but I really like, but that's the thing. It's like he runs away. He can never find it again because Eric Zahn was bested. I think that's the story.
Yeah, okay.
What I think.
Yeah. I would have written it differently. I mean, I didn't come up with the idea or have any concept of the execution.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's definitely, Todd and I have, one of the things I really enjoy doing with Todd is watching,
Yes.
There's a lot of things, but watching a movie or a TV show or something, and then we talk about how we would have made it better or done it differently.
Yes, and this is a habit we have, and it only applies to movies that are just on the edge of great.
Right.
Right. Exactly. It's movies that we like.
If it's terrible, then
or
it's
TV
just,
shows that
it's
we like.
Funny. Yeah. It'd be like, oh, if only they'd done this.
Yeah. What did I have the other day that I really Late Night with the Devil. I just watched Late Night with the Devil. It premiered at South By this last March, and it's now streaming on Shudder, and you should definitely watch it if you like horror stuff, which you probably do if you're listening to this podcast. And I think it's like super tropey. It's like it nails late 70s, early 80s, late night TV in a way that I find just like very nostalgic and comforting and all that. The comedy part, it's billed as a horror comedy, but like the comedy falls away like halfway through. But yeah, like it's one of these movies where I'm like, this could have been great. And it's very good. You should definitely watch it. And I think some people do think it's great. I think the ending, like, I have notes for the ending, just like Claire does with almost every Lovecraft story.
Yes, because, I mean, and I hope that the listener understands that this is not because, I have no talent of, right? Like, this is purely me as, like, a stranger coming in and having no idea what I'm talking about.
Well, yeah, this is the first time you read the Music of Eric Zahn, and you read it moments before we started podcasting.
But I have the honored confidence of middle-aged white man.
Yes, you do.
Ladies and gentlemen, plot twist, you had no idea.
Turns out. Claire is a middle-aged white man. Yeah, so that's it. The Rue de Say is gone forever from living history. Only this one guy can remember it.
Bummer. You know why? Probably because it's been gentrified. That's why you can't find it now.
That's right, yeah. It's probably just been turned into, like, safe apartment buildings. And not, like, these crazy Edward Gorey apartment buildings.
Yeah, they knocked it all down as condos.
Yep, it's condos now. So, okay, that's it. What do we have to do with business? Well, let me tell you. So, as Claire said at the top of the show, we have a new unless I edit it out, I don't know, until we go through the edit, but we have a single solitary subscriber. He's basically our Eric Zahn. He listens to the podcast so we don't consume the world. It's like a reverse Eric Zahn. It's Zrater. I've talked to him a couple times, mostly in email. I don't think I've talked to him on Mastodon, but maybe I have. But
Where's he from?
I don't know.
Zrater?
Zrater.
That name fucking rocks.
Yeah, it does.
So basically, he's like the Charlie to our angels right now.
Right now, yes. You know, I wrote him back and I said, "Hey, thanks so much." Like he jumped on it, and the day that the Descendant published the discussion where we first announced this,
he knows he has the power now.
Yeah, and he seems super nice. He's like, "Yeah, like I like little tiny indie podcasts, and you know, it means." You know, it's a minimal effort of $3 a month to like keep you guys.
All right, we gotta start. Okay. Yeah.
So you too can support this podcast at the low price of $3 a month. You know what? If like, I don't know, 1,000 of you did that. So.
And a small army.
Then, I don't know. I don't know. Like the fact is,
we're not gonna quit our
the
jobs.
Fact is, I'm not going to quit
have
my
a
job.
Pension and health insurance.
You like your job. I like my job. We're going to keep doing our actual jobs. We'll get to this when we get to this. No. If you don't pay us, then we won't stop anyway. Because my goal is to get through the entire Lovecraft corpus, and I'm going to fucking do it.
But
with or without you,
yeah. With a subscriber, I'm like, oh, we gotta fucking. Do shit
hey,
now.
Gang, the tables Thank have you. Turned.
Yeah.
Almost always.
The up hunter until, has become the hunted.
Up until this month, it has always been me of like, hey, Claire, do you want to record? Do you want to record? Mm-hmm. Do you want to record? This month, Claire was like,
I have to cook more. A lot more. We have to cook.
I feel like we should record. Someone's paying for this.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, yeah, but it's just one guy. She's like, it doesn't matter.
That's even more important. Whatever he wants. Uh-huh.
So
whatever
anyway,
Lola wants, Lola gets.
You too can subscribe to this podcast with money by going to bit.ly/podsothoth-support or just check the show notes. There's a link there.
And this weekend we're going to have to do Greatest American Hero.
That's right. We also have another podcast if you haven't heard.
Believe it or not.
Yeah. With that podcast has about 10% of the listenership that this podcast has. So
I got to.
But yes,
that up. I can do it.
You can look it up. Hotforteacher.tv. Hotforteacher.tv. It's all about The Greatest American Hero. It's much more Gen X-y than this podcast. We spend a lot of time talking about our childhoods.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And usually in this podcast, we kind of hit our like college and beyond years. Greatest American Hero, you can hear all about our tiny little baby childhoods, because that aired when we were little tiny little baby children. We were elementary school aged, and have, for whatever reason, seared it into our brains that it's one of the greatest TV shows of all time. Don't worry, we also talk about Lovecraft on that one too. I think that is literally all the business. Haven't gotten a lot of email. Oh no, duh. We got to keep pimping that. We're going to Necronomicon, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Tickets are still available at... just look up Necronomicon Providence. You'll find it. the website is a little inscrutable, which is, I guess, on brand.
Yeah, sure.
And, you can still get tickets. I think you can still even volunteer if you want to volunteer. But we'll definitely be there. We're hopeful to have a show there that's still up in the air at the time of this recording. We might have a speaking slot in some, but you might be able to see us perform.
Or
one or
could
all
just
of us.
Meet us in a Starbucks.
Or we can just hang out. I'm not going to go to Starbucks. And
why would you not go to Starbucks?
Because there's that really cool like restaurant that we went to, the coffee place.
Well, that
place.
Was good too. Yeah. All I'm saying is that, like, you know what? Like a Starbucks, you know what you're going to get. That's all.
That's fine.
I would always rather choose independent coffee shops.
Would you like to join our Lovecraft trivia team for Lovecraft Pub Trivia? Because we could really use the help.
Oh, yeah, we were terrible.
We came in a dead last.
Yes, yes.
And
however,
it's better
we did,
to be dead last than just middle last.
We did for sure come on to the, like, we were funny. So
I think we were fan favorites. You can go listen to that episode where we recount our adventure. But yeah, we definitely have room on our team. So if you want to join Team Pod Sothoth, for Lovecraft trivia.
That's better. Yeah.
Let us know.
That's even more important,
honest. And we'll be drinking cocktails and
we need some ringers.
And answering Lovecraft trivia poorly. Now, I want to make it absolutely clear to our listenership. I want to win or I want to lose hard. Those are the only two options.
No middle.
No middle sliders on pub trivia.
No,
on Lovecraft
pub trivia.
Ladies and
gentlemen, that is Todd Beardsley in a nutshell. All in, either way.
Yeah. Yep. So let us know. You can let us know in a number of ways. One, you can email us, which is how most people interact with us for some reason. It is hideous@podsothoth.club. You can email us. You can also chat with us on Mastodon at podsothoth@defcon.social. We have our own accounts as well, but that one will get to both of us eventually, I guess. And those are pretty much the communication options, email or Mastodon. We don't hang out on Instagram or Facebook, or Claire purportedly has a Facebook group. I haven't heard anything about it lately.
I have not checked out a long time. I have been trying to cut down my social media.
Good job. Yep. Maybe we'll get a TikTok.
Yeah.
Now that it's banned in the US.
Right.
It's not actually bad. But yeah, we don't do any other social media other than Mastodon and email. So
email works for me.
Hey man, I know exactly how to promote a podcast and I'm doing exactly everything wrong. We're not on Blue Sky, we're not on Truth Social, we're not on Twitter.
Nobody's on Truth Social.
Are you kidding?
I mean, if you're...
Nunez is on Truth Social.
Well, okay, if you're on Truth Social for reals, you probably are not going to be fans of us.
Probably not. Should we just have a Truth Social account? Probably not. No, that's a terrible idea.
I don't know.
I don't want to drive any traffic or advertising revenue.
No, it does. There's plenty of trolls. It's like 40% trolls. Anyway.
I think it's like 90% trolls.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But yeah, that's it. And if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show... tell an enemy. And whatever you do, leave a nice review on your podcast app of choice. We are on Spotify. Spotify has like this weird, I guess it's not that weird for Spotify, but Spotify has like a Q&A section for each episode. I do try to pay attention to that sporadically, maybe once or twice a week. So if you ask something there, I'm likely to answer it. And I have a totally abandoned our YouTube channel, so don't bother there. I should probably just delete it because it was a bad mistake. It was like way too much work for no payoff. But yeah, that's it. That's all the business parts. Hopefully you skipped ahead by like 40 seconds or, I don't know, 5 minutes, however long this fucking part took. I'll edit it down. Don't worry. And that's
love
it.
Love you.
I don't know. Thank you. Yes, we should just be done.
I live wherever my heart is, Matt Damon.